In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I begin this morning with a question, and the question is, how do you talk about things that are not just out of the ordinary, but that take you into a whole new world? And one way of doing this is through music, when we sing. That's why some of the greatest songs are love poems. Faced with the glory and thrill of human love, all our words seem inadequate. But if we set them to music, they soar with the eagles and beat in times to our excited hearts. That is why, my friends, from very early on in Israel and also in the church, people have used music, song, to say things that the words by themselves could not do. The things that have to do with the arrival of a whole new world. And much of the New Testament has from time to time been set to music. A favorite piece is the one in which the 19th century composer Johannes Brahms set the words of verse 22. And in verse 22 of the gospel this morning, we see the words, "You have sorrow now, but I shall see you again, and your hearts will celebrate." Brahms put music to those words. It is a soaring, gentle, but powerful affirmation of joy coming through sorrow and out the other side. It is a rich, very rich embodiment of the text, this text, which has again and again been cherished by many Christians at times of great distress and times of great suffering. The music has comforted many people who didn't even know what words Brahms was setting or where they had come from. But this great composer, Brahms, was responding to the theme which lies deep within this passage that was just read. The theme of God's new world being born out of the womb of the old. Like St. Paul in Romans chapter 8, Jesus in this passage uses the imagery of giving birth to express what is going to happen. And in using this imagery, invites his followers to prepare themselves for a sorrow and the subsequent lasting joy that is modeled on the sorrow and the joy of a woman that is going into labor, giving birth. All women would say is terrifying. Giving birth involves sharp pain. It involves convulsions. It involves breathing difficulties. It involves a form of agony that mere men can only watch with awe. But most women giving birth go through it with something called eager expectation. Their hearts are already set on the new young life that is waiting to come into the world. Within minutes or even moments of the birth, they are deeply content. There may be days and weeks of pain to come as the body recovers from its ordeal. But new life has come, and with that new life, new joy. As we reflect on this gospel for today, the disciples are about to be plunged into a short, sharp, and intensely painful period that will be like a moment of birth. Jesus died, arose, was with his brothers and sisters talking, but then he was saying to them, "A little while, you will not be seeing me anymore." Jesus was saying to them that he will be taken away, but they will see him again. And these words made them very confused. Jesus said, "Not long from now, they won't see me. Not long after that, they will see me again." His death and his resurrection are the necessary events that will lead to his going to the Father and sending something else to them, sending the Spirit. He will be leaving them in flesh and blood, but he will be sending them someone to comfort them, and that was the Spirit. These are extraordinary events, my friends, the like of which the world has never seen before. The disciples can hardly prepare properly for them, but Jesus wants to warn them anyway. He was warning them that I will not be with you for long. I will be leaving you, but I will be sending someone to be with you. It is all happening because with the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus, a new world, the new world is indeed being born. This is what John in his gospel wants us to grasp. that in spite of the sorrows and the difficulties we have in life now, there is going to be a better life to come. Simply this. This isn't just a matter of Jesus saying there's trouble coming, but it will be all right afterwards. It's a matter of seeing that when we find ourselves at the foot of the cross, difficulties, then later on we will find ourselves with Mary Magdalene in the Easter Garden. So we should not miss the significance of these events. They are not merely strange, shocking, or even unique. They are the visible sign that God's new world really is coming to birth. It is hardly surprising then, my friends, that Jesus has another warning as well. There are all sorts of things he would love to talk to them about, which they aren't ready for, which they couldn't cope with. As it is, they are no doubt sleepy at the end of a long day and a festive evening. And he is facing them with warnings and encouragements, the like of which the world has never heard before or since. And so this dialogue that we have today in the gospel, with Jesus tossing words to and fro, "A little while you shall see me, and then you shall not see me," was to them confusing. But then, what was their significance? He made mention of the Spirit. But part of the job of the Spirit that will come will be to help you. The Spirit is the helper. And this helper, if you abide in the Spirit, will lead you into all truth. The Spirit will lead you into all truth. Also, the Spirit will remind them of what Jesus had already said to them. The Spirit will also guide. So you see what the Spirit will do. It will remind, it will guide them, guide their minds and imaginations into the ways of knowing and things to know that Jesus would like to have said but couldn't say at that time. It is that Spirit, my friends, that you and I have been promised by God. It is that Spirit that you and I should depend on now as we live our lives. We live our lives not as children without hope, but knowing that in God, who came in Jesus, there is hope for all who put their trust in him. Maybe we should also say that the Spirit will give people music to make the words that fly, take flight in a very new way. That too, my friends, is certainly a way by which the Father is glorified. When we come and in our worship we sing, that singing is part of glorifying Almighty God. So music can point to that moment. Music can point to the celebration we are promised. Music is perhaps not only a signpost, but music is the start of the celebration itself. So as we reflect on the gospel appointed today, and as we sing these hymns today, let us remember that God is with us always by that promise that he made. Although he's not here in flesh and blood, his spirit abides with us. His spirit directs us, and his spirit will lead us to eternal life. Amen.